This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It is Monday at 5, in the 5 o'clock hour here on Charlottesville Right Now, and that means only one thing, that we are going to continue our discussion of Virginia politics and public affairs with Sean Kenny. He's the Director of Communications for the Republican Party of Virginia. And normally we are joined by Mark Bergman of the Democratic Party of Virginia, Director of Communications, but he had to jump on other business and is busy doing something else. So we are fortunate to be joined by Jesse Ferguson, who's the spokesman for Delegate Brian Moran. And Brian, of course, is the chairman of the Democratic Caucus. So let's welcome Sean and Jesse to the program. How are you, gentlemen?
Doing well. How are you?
Very, very good.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Coy. How are you both?
Very good. Thanks, Jesse, for jumping in here. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'll try to fill in for Mark, although he's far more talented than I am.
Jesse, let's go to you first. Your thoughts on the session. We had a wonderful conversation in the last half hour with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, and we talked in depth about transportation. And let me hear your thoughts on how things played out and how they might play out, because, of course, we have yet to hear from the governor about any of these bills.
Right. Well, thanks for the question. I think the session was a great one. I think there was a tremendous amount of major accomplishments. Our Democratic caucus stuck together and really kind of fought for some of those core Democratic principles, fought for opportunity, fought for better, more university research, early childhood education, early reading programs that they were threatened to be cut. A number of those core Democratic principles that we really stuck to and fought for throughout the session. A couple ones, transportation obviously dominated the headlines and is going to continue to dominate the headlines. General Assembly session doesn't really end until after the governor's amendments come down to the House on April 4th. So there's still a lot to be done there. But there were a number of other issues. The minimum wage would be top of my list. Democrats spent every waking hour of this session trying to fight for an increase in the minimum wage. A worker today earning the minimum wage earns less than the federal poverty level. It's not only something that's bad for the economy and bad for productivity, but it's really morally questionable to have somebody earning below the poverty level. And we came as close as we could to getting it through the House. It passed the Senate. It passed House committees and unfortunately was turned away on a party line vote on the floor of the House of Delegates. But that doesn't mean we're not going to be back on this issue in future years.
And Sean Kenny, with the Republican Party, your thoughts on how the General Assembly went this year?
Well, I'm glad to hear that Democrats are as excited about Republican successes as we are. We have a transportation bill. The General Assembly decided to compromise and forge ahead, and we're able to deliver that. That's what the people have asked for, and the General Assembly delivered. Obviously, there's a number of other bills that General Assembly passed. True reform on personal property rights. Ken Cuccinelli pushed forward. Slavery regret bill came out of General Assembly this time around. I think this is a very good session. Not just for both parties, but I think for the people of Virginia, and it was done under the leadership of Bill Howell. It was done under the leadership of Republicans in the Senate. There's a lot to crow about. A lot of the successes, though, remain on Governor Kaine's desk, who notably has been absent other than to dole out endorsements. but beyond that, it's a very good year for a very good session for the people of Virginia, done under Republican leadership with the transportation plan. I think that it was forged in compromise. That pushes the ball down the field. All that remains now is for Senator Kaine to, or Governor Kaine, to take the leadership and actually implement the will of the General Assembly.
We're talking with Jesse Ferguson of the Democratic Party of Virginia and Sean Kenny of the Republican Party of Virginia. And if you would like to join the conversation, the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Jesse, Sean made a point here regarding Governor Kaine's involvement with the General Assembly, and there was also a rocking chair. Sean, tell us about that real quick.
Well, I have very little to do with this rocking chair, but it seems as if the Sensitivity Caucus of the House of Delegates decided to present His Honor with a rocking chair, symbolic of his involvement from during session. Obviously, so I guess he'd be more comfortable watching watching from the governor's mansion what was going on at the General Assembly. So a bit humorous. I'm sorry to see or sad to hear that, that Tim Kaine didn't take it in the humor that it was offered, but nonetheless, there it is. A rocking chair on behalf of the Sensitivity Caucus from his good friends across the hall.
And Jesse, your thoughts on that?
Sure. I mean, the rocking chair was an interesting gag, but you know, this session had a lot less to do with the governor, you know, sitting on a porch than it did with the Republicans betting the farm, and they bet a farm on a plan that's just not going to sell around Virginia. I mean, your listeners in Charlottesville don't get any improvements to their road systems out of this plan. In rural Virginia, money's taken out of education and out of health care to fund this plan, and in northern Virginia, we're hearing big numbers bantied around and hearing local governments saying it's not going to work. So, you know, the governor has been incredibly engaged in this fight. The governor set the table for this issue in January of 2006. He has spoken about it at every public appearance that I've seen him at, and that's been a large number of them in the last year and a half. He was the first one to send a bill down on transportation last year. He was the one that has pushed this issue. It never would have been one that Republicans had to deal with if they didn't feel the pressure from the governor. They should certainly be commended on compromising with themselves. There's no question that the left hand of the Republican Party and the right hand of the Republican Party sort of talk to each other. I don't know that it's much of a compromise with Democrats. I don't know that it's a compromise with local governments. I don't know that it's a compromise with the governor. I think it may just be a compromised plan. But it certainly shows little characteristic of compromise.
Jerry, I'm so glad to hear you say that Governor Kaine worked so hard for this bill. Are you ready to make an announcement that's going to say he's going to sign that bill?
Governor Kaine, I did not say Governor Kaine worked hard for this bill. Governor Kaine works hard for good bills.
Okay, and
this
so
bill
did,
doesn't.
A third of the Democratic House caucus who voted for this bipartisan bill. So I'm looking forward to the rhetoric that you just spoke being fulfilled in Governor Kaine signing the General Assembly bill on transportation, a solution that was forged by Republicans, implemented by Republicans, while Governor Kaine was busy attending Jefferson Jackson Day dinners and handing out endorsements to his good friends like Barack Obama.
I think the governor will sign the bill as soon as the Republican caucus in the House and the Senate support his amendments. Which fix it,
Sean?
Which
let me
make sure that it doesn't rob Peter to pay Paul.
Sean, let me ask you this: Sean Kenney with the Republican Party. Bob Gibson was in the last half hour, and he said that it's pretty common knowledge that among some of the leadership, they sent the bill. They were aware that it was not a perfect bill, and they sent it to the governor, sort of asking him to amend this bill and to
right.
sort of tweak it and make it a better bill. That there was interest on his part to improve this, and that he could do this from the governor's mansion.
Well, I think that would be contrary to a lot of the spirit of compromise that we've heard from members of General Assembly thus far. Speaker Howell was very insistent that this was indeed a solution forged in compromise, that for months the House and the Senate had been working on this compromise bill without much input from Governor Kaine at all. Governor Kaine was notably absent from transportation conversations, and only now, when the General Assembly passes a bill, do we start hearing Governor Kaine move down the road of holding town hall meetings, of stalling the process, of doing everything possible to sort of hijack the bill and make it so that Virginians don't get the transportation solutions that they're asking for. This talk, and Jerry mentions in particular,
Jesse,
sort of paving roads with textbooks and hospital beds and whatnot. We're talking about $148 million, so that's less than 1% of the general fund out of a $500 million surplus. This is a $76 billion budget, and we have Democrats. Democrats, not all of them, because one of the House Democratic Caucus did indeed vote for this bill, even as they're having the fractured leadership that they have and some of the problems we've seen from Armstrong and Hall. But one-third of the Democrats in the House turned around and said this is a good bill forged in compromise that we can support and rally behind. Governor Kaine has yet to make that same insistence. Despite what we're hearing from Jerry, he's not willing to commit to transportation. So I'd really like to see the governor step up to the plate and lead on this one. I think most Virginians would like to see them follow the leadership of the General Assembly, and who knows, maybe we'll be surprised, but Jerry, I'm sure you're going to tell us why we're not going to be surprised.
We're talking with Sean Kenney of the Republican Party of Virginia and Jesse Ferguson of the Democratic Party of Virginia. Jesse, let me get your thoughts on if you wanted to give you a chance to respond to what Sean had said before this break, and then I have another quick question for you. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, I think that there's you know, you hit on the point in the question, which was that there was a number of leading Senate Republicans who said that this plan is no good. What really came out yesterday was a vote from the Senate that said, Governor, please fix this. John Watkins of Powhatan said on the floor, listed all the reasons he's against the bill and said, I'm only voting for it because I know the governor will do better. Emmett Hanger called it a one-armed wounded duck, and then but voted for it to send a bill to the governor. Senator John Chichester, president pro temp of the Republican Senate, Republican Senate finance chairman, a former statewide candidate from the Republican Party, didn't even vote for it. So there's certainly a lot of Republicans who've said that this bill needs to be changed, and Democrats are united in saying this bill needs to be changed. The House Republicans are the only ones that stand out there thinking that it's you know, their way or the highway, and we don't seem to be getting any highways out of this deal.
Yes.
So I guess the real question is, if this is, you know, we've heard the word compromise used a lot, but I think the only compromise, the only consensus I'm hearing from the overwhelming majority of political leaders in the state, Republican and Democrat, is that this bill needs to be fixed, and they're looking to the governor and the leadership he's demonstrated time and time again to get the job done.
Let me ask you, Sean, clearly we're going to see some input from the governor on this transportation bill. We're going to see a long list of amendments to this bill that the Senate and the House will have to consider when they come back in April. What do you think are some of the things that that we're going to see from the governor that that he might want to amend to this bill?
Well, to be honest, I don't know. We haven't seen the governor at Capitol Square for the last 2 months. We don't know what he's going to propose. To date, he's been sort of betting the farm on hoping that the General Assembly does not produce a transportation bill. And miracle of miracles, both Republicans and Democrats, one-third of the Democratic House caucus voted for this bill, forged in compromise. This is a compromise that was built over quite some time. And the fact of the matter is that Tim Kaine has been AWOL on transportation. And that fact's going to bear out. You know, the people are not going to buy the smoke and mirrors of a Tim Kaine that has been attending Jefferson Jackson Day dinners, bandying out endorsements, and then, oh, all of a sudden we have a transportation bill, and you know, we're going to see some action out of the governor's office. I think he's going to do as much as possible to derail any kind of compromise, and if that's not going to be the case, if he's going to join the Democrats and Republicans in General Assembly that managed to vote for this bill that saw in it a solution to Virginia's transportation problems. Hopefully he'll be able to stand up and be a leader and vote with General Assembly and vote this bill in the law. But I don't think we're going to see that kind of leadership out of Tim Kaine, because to date he's done much to obstruct and very little to move the ball down the field with regards to transportation.
Sean Kenney with the Republican Party of Virginia. Let me ask you, in the last half hour, we're talking with Bob Gibson about Senator Phil Puckett, who was chosen to be on the conference committee that would be responsible for coming up with this transportation compromise. Puckett, of course, a Democrat. It turns out that he was not even told when or where the meetings were, was not included in on any of these conversations. Sean, your thoughts, and then Jesse, your thoughts on this. I'm actually sort of very disappointed that this would take place, but I guess some would say, well, this is just politics.
Well, I don't set the schedules. I can't be responsible for it, obviously. And to be honest, I'm not so sure, you know, what happened one way or another. What I do know is this, is that there was a three-month conversation on this that had been years in the past on transportation. We knew this was an issue. We knew it was something that Virginians wanted. And General Assembly delivered on that promise to have a transportation solution this year. That's something that Governor Kaine ran on in 2005. He promised a transportation solution that would not raise taxes statewide. He has that plan. He has that bill in front of him. In compromise, many people aren't going to like what comes out. It's not something where everybody loses per se. It's not something where everybody gets 100% of what they want. That's why compromise tends to beat out politics. But in the end, what we have is a solid transportation plan that meets the needs of Virginians, that doesn't implement a statewide tax increase. The Governor Kaine, when he ran in 2005, said he would sign, said it was something he would work towards. You know, in 2007, 2 years in the governor's office sometimes does a lot to change one's mind when you're talking politics and moving closer to partisanship. So,
Jesse Ferguson, spokesman for Delegate Brian Moran, chairman of the Democratic Caucus, your thoughts on Senator Phil Puckett, who took the Senate floor recently and said, you know, I was on the conference committee, but they never included me on any of the conversations and never told me when the meetings were.
It was incredibly disappointing. I think it's a reflection of the politics that went into this bill, that Senator Puckett, the lone member out of the 12, who hadn't signed on to the speaker's bill before the process even started wasn't even invited to the table. It really was a reflection of the fact that Republicans wanted to come out of this session and use that compromise word a lot, and it's a lot harder to use the compromise word if you actually invite everyone to the table. They clearly excluded him from the process. They clearly excluded Democrats from the process. They clearly excluded the governor from the process. And what they've got for right now for a bill is one that the Republican caucus was able to compromise on, not the entire General Assembly, and certainly leaves the people of Virginia out in the lurch. This bill was finally, in its final form, less than a day before the vote. Delegate Adam Eben rose on the floor of the House to ask if we were going to get more time or if our briefing from the bill was supposed to be the Speaker's press release. That's a 105-page bill. We had about 30 seconds per page to review, study, analyze, and figure out the implications of it. The governor is now getting the first chance to really look at this bill, and as we've said before, he's going to put down some amendments because this thing doesn't solve transportation.
Jesse, one-third of the caucus, of which your employer represents, one-third of the House Democratic caucus, found it within themselves to say this is a solution that does the job and solves transportation solutions.
Well, but six or seven, I forget the number exactly, six
one
or seven House Republicans voted against it.
Voted for
the
this bill.
The Republican leader in the Senate voted against it.
One-third.
So the reality is this bill doesn't solve anything. Take the Culpeper Construction District, where your Charlottesville listeners are. You're talking about approximately $60 million for construction. Most recent interchanges that were built by the Virginia Department of Transportation, the interchange costs about $50. This plan lets us build an interchange. That doesn't solve transportation. It doesn't do anything for multimodal transportation, for rail, for transit. It doesn't do anything to give us a transportation system that actually deals with the 21st century economy that we're all living in.
But
it's a transportation plan built of finance systems from days gone by.
That is a critical element of this transportation bill that has been overlooked by countless General Assemblies in the past. This really is a critical first step in the direction of that 21st century transportation system that I would like to think both parties would want to see. And those kinds of solutions are only going to come in the form of compromise. Republicans and Democrats can work together and make this bill happen, not for the sake of partisanship on the part of the governor, but when one-third of the House Democratic caucus comes across the aisle and says this is a solution, I'll take that as a sign that this is a good.
We're talking Virginia politics with Sean Kenny of the Republican Party of Virginia and Jesse Ferguson, spokesman for Delegate Brian Moran, who is chairman of the Democratic caucus. Mark Bergman could not join us today. Gentlemen, if we can, let's turn to some of the legislation that passed the General Assembly this year. Sean, your thoughts on the slavery regret bill. Don't really know what else to call it, but it was not an apology. It was the wording was very, very important to folks, exactly how this would be phrased. And this made international news that Virginia was taking the lead on something like this.
Mm-hmm. And thank God it passed. I think that's a near universal sentiment. I was actually shocked that it was the first such bill to pass in the country.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I was very surprised by that. But thank God it passed. This is something that obviously it will be part of Virginia's background for as long as there is a Virginia. I'm glad General Assembly passed the bill.
Jesse,
I would agree with Sean. I mean, Virginia was the first state to elect an African American governor, and this is the right type of legislation that we should be advancing. Delegate Donald McEachin from Richmond, a member of our caucus, put the bill in, and we're very, very pleased that it's passed and that we've made this public statement that we regret the past and we're ready to put it behind us.
Sean, what about the re-regulation of Dominion Virginia Power? The electricity industry was deregulated years ago in the belief that it would lead to more competition in the power industry in the Commonwealth, and that would lower prices. That is the general idea behind of markets, that they do this, but that's not what happened. There was no competition. Dominion has a lock on power pretty much in the Commonwealth, and so now Dominion is being re-regulated, which will definitely raise prices. They're going to go up, but nobody knows how much. Your thoughts on this process, how it worked out, and the end result?
To be honest, I really haven't paid that close attention to the bill itself. All that having been said, I think what most folks are looking at is a long-term method of keeping prices low. Deregulation obviously did not work. There was no sort of influx of power companies coming to Virginia competing over markets. It didn't work as it was intended. It didn't work in the same manner. But hopefully re-regulation will keep prices down for the long term, and I think if there's any chance that it is an impact that does not work over the long term, that it'll be Republicans that'll be the first to rally around a deregulation again.
Jesse?
Well, I mean, I'd agree with Sean that I wouldn't want to wade too far into the issue. I didn't follow it that closely, but what I do find interesting is the long-term sustainable way to keep prices at a reasonable level for working families is going to be conservation and better management of our energy resources. Delegate Moran carried legislation this year looking at the development of green buildings when we do state construction, meeting national standards for construction so that our buildings were energy efficient. They didn't waste power. They were cost savings. The bill, unfortunately, didn't make it out. Renewable portfolio standards, a number of other pieces of legislation that were looking at environmental efficiency and better management of our environmental resources, which would keep prices under control, were pretty roundly rejected by the Republican majority. And that's where we need to be going if we want to really look at long-term solutions to ensure energy is affordable for families.
Sean, we interview Attorney General Bob McDonnell on this program every month, and he has been talking for months now about the bills to make illegal immigrants very uncomfortable in Virginia. The end result is that, to my knowledge, I don't think any of those bills made it through the General Assembly. That may not be accurate. One or two might have. But most of them failed. And your thoughts on that and what that might say about the Republican Party's thinking on illegal immigration?
Well, I think we have to take a step back and realize that some of the things, I mean, with in-state tuition, for instance, for illegal immigrants, I mean, Marylanders cannot get in-state tuition in the Commonwealth of Virginia, nor can anyone from North Carolina or Massachusetts or Texas. But the idea that in-state or illegal immigrants could possibly do that, it's just a dichotomy that just does not stand the test. Most folks, if you dig deep enough into my background, realize that I used to work for DEA. I understand the concept of what draws people across the border and the method that occurs. Sometimes they're loaded with drugs. It's a terrible process. It's an absolutely demeaning, dehumanizing process. And to make the apple on the other end a bit shinier, a bit more red by providing all these incentives just burns me up. It's the exact opposite of what government should be doing. It's the exact opposite of what's in the best interest for those on the other side of the border. And really, the problem of illegal immigration, and I think everybody would roundly recognize it as a problem, is really a problem that's resolved at the federal level, not ultimately the state level. I think we saw some really good bills, some really good ideas. They didn't make it all the way through, but again, this is one of those processes that we'll come back at it again next year. We'll find bills that work. We'll discard the ones that don't. And we'll push forward, but clearly this is an issue that concerns many Virginians. I think Attorney General McDonnell is were right with his concerns, and we'll continue to push the ball forward on that as best we can.
Jesse, why do you think most of these bills failed this year? And I totally agree with Sean that a lot of Virginians do care about this, and that these bills are coming back in one form or another. We haven't seen the last of some of these bills.
Sure. Well, I think I think Sean's right that this ultimately is a federal issue, and that we're going to need federal action on. People are very concerned about illegal immigration and making sure that we get it under control. But what you saw this year was the difference between people that wanted to solve the illegal immigration problem and people that wanted to demagogue on the problem and make campaign brochures out of it. So take the issue Sean was talking about people having rights to have tuition. And he said, a Marylander can't get in-state tuition. Why should an illegal immigrant? Somebody born in Maryland who moved to Virginia at age two could get in-state tuition. So the carve-out that Senate Republicans were trying to make was to ensure that somebody who came to Virginia, their parents brought them to Virginia at age two, could still get in-state tuition, that we wouldn't lose that productivity in our economy, the long-term value and growth to our state, somebody that had grown up here, gone through our school system here, just like a Marylander that had moved across the line. And that's, you know, unfortunately, the House Republican caucus resoundingly rejected it because they wanted the issue for the campaign, and they wanted something to demagogue about. And that's not the way to solve problems. What Democrats have really focused in on ever since Governor Warner was elected in 2001 is being the party that solves problems. And when we're in charge of the General Assembly, these are the type of problems that we'll be able to solve.
Sean, real quick, the whole idea of eminent domain came up this year. A lot of folks thought that the General Assembly might act on it last year, but nothing could get through. This year, they got some legislation through which really cracks down on local municipalities' power to implement and use the eminent domain. Your thoughts on this?
Amen, and about time. And I think this is something that Jesse would agree with me on.
Yep.
The Kelo decision ultimately left it up to the states. The Commonwealth of Virginia acted, and it remains on Governor Kane's desk to sign the bill and make it law.
Jesse?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I think that we're all very glad that we were able to act this year. There were provisions last year and some bantied around this year that might have created problems for our housing authorities and this, that, and the other. But we did get final language worked out, and it's a real accomplishment for Virginia to be able to protect personal property rights, without a doubt.
Jesse, tell us, recently, it was just announced a few days ago that the Democratic Party in Virginia has a new leader. Frank Hall is out. Explain this process to us, and perhaps, if you can, share some of your insight from behind the scenes.
Sure, I'll share the insight to the extent I can and the extent I know it. The House Democratic Caucus did decide at the end of this legislative session to change our minority leader. My boss, Delegate Moran, chairs the caucus and is partner with the leader. We elected Delegate Ward Armstrong from Martinsville, Virginia, as a new leader. And it's really indicative of a caucus that is getting ready for the 2007 election cycle. We've seen now 6 years, 7 years, 8 years of Republican legislature. We've seen the type of bills that come forward, like some of them this year, all-out bans on abortion, contraception, and these sort of things. And the Democratic caucus decided to put a leader in place that we feel is going to be a great partner with Delegate Moran and ensure that we continue to pick up seats in the House of Delegates this fall.
Jesse, I find it very...
That was what this decision was about. It was... Made by the caucus, and Delegate Armstrong has taken the helm as of this weekend.
Jesse, I find it interesting that Frank Hall, of course, from Richmond, now you've got a new Democratic leader from Martinsville, from southern Southside Virginia. That's a big switch.
Well, I mean, I think the Democratic Party and the Democratic message of spreading opportunity and fairness, it doesn't matter which region of the state. We fought this year to ensure that the Governor's Opportunity Fund had funds to bring new high-paying jobs in Southside Virginia. There was attempts made to cut it. So it's not surprising that the Democratic caucus decided to go with somebody from rural Virginia who understands the problems and the challenges that the rural parts of our state are facing. But Delegate Armstrong is a very accomplished legislator. He is a great leader for the caucus, and we're all really excited to have him partnering with Brian at the helm as we head into this election cycle.
Sean Kenny with the Republican Party, your thoughts on new leadership across the aisle?
Well, I don't want to dwell on it too heavily because obviously internal party leadership on the Republicans and Democrats is their decision. I know the insiders like to make a lot of hay out of it when ultimately it's just a change at the helm. I will say this, though, that the transition was not peaceful, nor was it congenial. and that was clearly represented in the first and second try that this occurred. I don't know what it was symptomatic of. Certainly, one could look back on previous legislation, some black eyes, like the whole Deeds for Governor bill. One third of the caucus joining Republicans in supporting the General Assembly transportation plan. Those things I think give some partisans a great degree of consternation. And if there's anyone who is an accomplished partisan, I think both sides of the aisle can respect Ward Armstrong's ability in that regard. But this is sort of an internal squabble amongst Democrats, and I think I'm content personally to leave it there.
Sean, last question here, and then the same question for you, Jesse. Sean Kenny with the Republican Party of Virginia. So what now? Now that the session is largely over, there's still some cleanup work in April that is left to be done, but all 140 seats of the Virginia General Assembly, the oldest, greatest legislative body in the history of the Western Hemisphere, all 140 seats are open this year. We've got a lot of people will be running. Tell us a little bit about some of the ideas from the Republican side about some of the things that we are going to be hearing from the Republicans in the races this year.
Sure. Well, first, our work's not done. Governor Kaine needs to sign the transportation bill the General Assembly gave it. Republicans and Democrats joined hands and pushed that bill forward in compromise and in the spirit of compromise, and it remains for Governor Kaine to follow through in that spirit of compromise or choose the path of partisanship. If he decides upon that path, which would be regrettable, but I think that's something that Virginia voters will judge Governor Kaine and his legacy as governor very harshly on when he had an opportunity to lead and follow through in campaign promises. I will add this. Republicans obviously I'm in Northern, calling in from Northern Virginia today. We're having a fundraising event with Mayor Rudy Giuliani. That's one of 10 more fundraisers that the Republican Party of Virginia is having in the spring alone. We are not taking 2007 for granted. We are not looking further downfield to endorsing Barack Obama as Governor Kaine did or John Edwards as Democratic Chairman Dick Cranwell did. We're not looking that far ahead. We're focused on the here and now. We're focused on pushing the free market, free enterprise solutions the Republican Party has built its majority upon, and we're looking forward to taking that fight in the 2007 and contrasting our record of success and compromise in General Assembly against Kaine's record and the Democrats' record of obstruction and frankly, do-nothing ideas.
Jesse Ferguson with the Democratic Party of Virginia, what are we going to be hearing from the Democrats this year as they run for these seats in the General Assembly?
I think we'd welcome the compare and contrast that Sean was just talking about. Virginia is the best managed state in the nation under Democratic leadership. Virginia was the best state to do business in the nation under Democratic leadership. One of the ones that I know my boss is most proud of is when we were rated Virginia the best state in the nation for a child to succeed. That's the type of record we will debate any day, in any forum, and in any part of Virginia, that Virginia Democrats are solving problems. Virginia Democrats aren't going to support a transportation solution that doesn't solve anything, that's more of a bumper sticker than a solution. We're waiting for the real solution to the problem that we're confident the governor is going to send us. We're going to continue focusing on education. There's no doubt that Virginia students are competing in a global marketplace for jobs. And the only way we're going to be able to be competitive is if we invest in education, if we invest in early childhood education, and if we prepare our workforce for that economy. Otherwise, we are going to be left behind. That's what you're going to hear from Democrats this fall. I know my boss has traveled about 35,000 miles this year, spending a lot of time recruiting candidates and talking to folks about running this year. And there is an energy out there that is palpable in a room, because people know that the people of Virginia want real leaders in the General Assembly, people that will actually produce solutions to problems, not rhetoric, partisanship, and campaign brochures. And that's what we're going to hear this fall, and we're real optimistic about our chances.
Jesse Ferguson is the spokesman for Delegate Brian Moran, who is chairman of the Democratic Caucus, and Sean Kenny is the director of communications for the Republican Party of Virginia. Gentlemen, thank you so much for spending some time with us. I definitely appreciate your time and your thoughts.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, thank you both.
Thank you.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at CVillePodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit CVillePodcast.com for more.